Good morning. I want to welcome you today to Memorial Day weekend Sunday of 2023 of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As you get a chance, look, give somebody a look and a wave and a smile. Listen, don't just do this because this is something we do every Sunday. This is a good greeting. This is a way for you to look at somebody that you don't know. And, of course, like I say, if you're in love or something like that, you can wink at them or whatever else you might want to do. But we want to greet folks in a way that's not going to pass around any crazy germs that might be floating around, but still says, hey, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. You know, sometimes the way you do that says whether or not you're glad you are here. So I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm here today in the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters, with the opportunity to be able to just gather around the Lord's Word and to be able to hear from Him. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to each other out there. Now, Dr. Cazito is usually with us, but he has some things that are taking place that are going on. And at this particular point, I also just want to let you know, I'll give you a little bit more information as I know it, but Betty's mother has passed away, and there will be a service overseas back in their hometown forthcoming, but I will keep you posted on that. John let me know that this morning, but do keep them in your prayers as they have some fairly significant travel that they're going to have to do, you know, over about the next couple of weeks. So our buddy John is usually back there monitoring our online audience. He's got his hands full today, so just remember them in your prayers, and then the rest of the folks that need our prayers, we'll let you know a little bit about that pretty much after the service. But we want to welcome you today, whether you're here in person or whether you're part of our online viewing audience, for a day when we remember, the day when we make sure that we keep the focus right about why we have tomorrow off. And that's the best way for me to say that. But as we take this time to come together as God's people, let's look to Him in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to You now, we're so grateful and thankful that You give us this opportunity. You give us a beautiful place in which we can gather. And Lord, You have brought us together for a reason. There's no accident that those that are here today are here. There's no accident that those that are viewing online are viewing online. You have brought us to this place together around Your Word as a family. So Lord, today I just pray that You will help us in all that we say and all that we do to be able to truly lift You up, Lord, to honor You, but Lord, also to remember that we have these opportunities that we're experiencing even as I speak, simply because they have been bought with the price of shed blood. Lord, salvation was bought with the shed blood of Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and our freedoms today have been bought because of the American soldier who was willing to lay down his life that we might be able to experience the freedoms that we do. So, Lord, may we today pause and remember, not just today, Lord, but every single day, remember the privileges that You have given us to be called Americans. So, Lord, help us as we endeavor to worship You. May our worship be a sweet, sweet savor to You this day as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Save our Lord, and He saved.
You know, as we take this opportunity and we be able to come together, we do so week by week and often without ever giving a thought of the freedoms that we have as we join together as God's people in this assembly that we call Central Baptist Church. But tomorrow is a very special day. And so often for a majority of people in the United States of America, we look for the day off. We look for moments to spend with family. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad things. The reason why we have those opportunities is because those freedoms have been bought with a price. You see, tomorrow will be the most expensive holiday on the calendar. Every hot dog, every burger, every spin around the lake, or every meal with friends is a debt. That debt was purchased by others. See, tomorrow's not about those who've served. That day comes later on in the fall. This one is in honor of those who paid in life and blood, whose moms never saw them again, whose dads wept in private, whose wives raised children alone, and whose kids only remember them from pictures. This isn't simply a day off coming up tomorrow. This is a day to remember that others paid for every free breath that you ever, ever get to take. Freedom is free. It, however, is not cheap. Would you watch with me of examples of many who this is what they go through, not only tomorrow, but each and every day of their lives.
Dear Dad, after all these years, I've never stopped writing. I still remember many of the letters I've written you and the moments I wish you could have seen.
Dear Daddy, I'm sad you had to leave, but I'm trying real hard to remember that you told me you'll always love me and to write you all the time. I didn't want you to go, but you pulled me close and hugged me tight, and you said that some things are worth fighting for.
Dear Daddy, I learned how to roller skate today. You'd be so proud. I fell down sometimes and skinned my knees, so I tried again and again. I was brave just like you.
Hey, Dad. Sorry I haven't ridden in a while. I'm 14 today. Can you believe it? Don't worry, though. No boyfriends. Mom and I are doing well. Sometimes we get lonely, but it's not too bad. Dear Dad, high school graduation. I really wish you were here today. College is just around the corner. I'm staying close to home, though. I figured you'd want me to help keep an eye on Mom. Dear Dad, today I married the man of my dreams. He reminds me of you. He's gentle, yet strong. He loves serving me, and he can make me laugh all the time, just like you could. Granddaddy went ahead and walked me down the aisle, said that you'd be proud of me. It was a wonderful day seeing so many friends. We talked about you a lot and how we wished you were here. Oh, Daddy, I love coming to visit you. This time, I brought someone else, your granddaughter. I tell her about you all the time. We talk about the letters I write you and that maybe she can write you too someday. Yesterday, she told me she'd love to meet you. So I pulled her close, hugged her tight, and told her about how some things in this world are worth fighting for, even dying for. Love always, your daughter.
If y'all don't have to get up and talk in front of a crowd, you don't understand how nervous this is. I had a lot to say, but that kind of covered it. May 21st, 2009, the unit that I was with in Iraq lost three guys. I remember that day each and every year. I'll drop my flag to half staff and honor those guys. I did some research, and well, that's basically when my Memorial Day starts, is the 21st. I did some research, and combat deaths in the United States military as a total is like 2.8 million since 1775. The Revolutionary War combat deaths were 8,000. The War of 1812, 2,260. Mexican-American War, we lost 1,733 soldiers. The war against Northern aggression, or as we call it, the war for Southern independence, 214,938 Americans died. The Great War, 53,402. World War II, 219,557. Korea, 33,686. Vietnam combat deaths were 47,434. I know there's 58,000 on the wall, and that includes everybody with wounds, this and that. So the Gulf War, we lost 149. The Global War on Terrorism, Afghanistan, we lost 1,910 plus the 13. And Iraq, there was 3,519 deaths. 666,454 Americans died in combat. And we set this weekend aside to honor them, and to each one of those individuals, just like the video we just watched, it touches so many other lives. They're not just numbers for us. I have a little thing that I'd like to read for you, if y'all just bear with me. I have felt its approach in the back of my mind, oh Father, like a burden tilting towards me across the calendar. I have felt its long approach, and now it has arrived. This is the day that marks the anniversary of our loss. And walking to it, I must drink. I must drink again the stream of sorrow that cannot be fully remedied in this life. O Christ, redeem this day. I do not ask that these lingerings of grief be erased, but that the fingers of your grace would work the memory as a baker kneads the dough, till the leaven rises, hope transforms it from within into a form holding now in that same sorrow, the surety of your presence, so that when we look again at the loss, we see you in the deepness, gloom of it, weeping with me, even as I hear you whispering that this is not the end, but only the still gray of the dawn before the world begins. And if that is so, then let that which broke me upon this day in the past year now be seen as the beginning of our remaking into Christ following, more sympathetic, more compassionate, more conscious of our frailty and of our daily dependence on you, as one more invested in the hope of the resurrection of the body and the return of the King than ever we have been before. Let this lost hallowed day arrive in years to come as the kindling of a fire in our bones, spurring us to seek the short life that which is eternal. Let the past wound and the memory of it push us to be present with you in ways that we were not before. Do not waste our greatest sorrows, O Father, but use them to teach us to live your presence, fully alive to pain and joy and sorrow and hope, in the places where our shattering and your shaping meets. I remember when I was in Iraq and Afghanistan most recently, I had my life verse wrote on my Kevlar. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. Thank you.
Today I pray that each of us have a renewed understanding as to why we get to stand the way we do, the way that we gather. It's been bought with a price. Today we're going to look at a few scriptures that come out of the book of Acts, chapters 5 and chapter 6. If you could turn there with me, I will refer to those verses here in just a moment. But as I thought about today, as I thought about this weekend, as I thought about tomorrow, and as I thought about times that I've actually had opportunities to be with those during the tough times, those whose loved ones did not come back from a conflict, those who actually gave their life for the freedoms that we enjoy. Over my lifetime, I've had several opportunities by which to have relationships and build relationships with those who have lost loved ones through the various conflicts. I'm thankful today for men like retired Staff Sergeant Kirk Gross, who shared with you from his heart just a moment ago, who put up our soldier's cross today. As you can see, it's a little different. We're representing the different eras of conflict that we've been in. In the past, you've seen everything from Gulf War to Vietnam. This is remembering World War II today. But all those that have lost loved ones, and I've had an opportunity to ask a question. As I've sat there with them, as they have cried their eyes out, as we have cried together, it prompted me at various times with various people to ask this question. You see, when we look at how things are today, being a part of our military for most people in this day and age is a choice. It is something you signed up for. It is something you volunteered for. Now, I know that there was a time that there was the draft and there wasn't that choice. I can also say this, that I know that when America has been under the gun, so to say, there have been more who have stepped up to volunteer to protect this nation. They didn't have to go out and draft people. After 9/11 took place, recruiters' offices were extremely busy. Why is that? Because if you ask them, they will say that there are things that are worth fighting for. I've heard those words myself. I've asked those people, listen, why did you walk away from a professional career? Why did you walk away from being a professional athlete? Why did you walk away from the opportunities of just enjoying life where you are? And they would always say this, because some things are worth fighting for. And if they're worth fighting for, then they ought to be worth dying for. These men and women, knowing that they could lose their life in the conflict, believed in the causes of this country so much that they were willing to stand in the gap for you and me. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that there was a question that I've had an opportunity to ask those families who have lost loved ones. Now, that's not something that you just ask on a whim. It has been after building relationships, after walking through the tears and the sorrows. But on many occasions, I've had a chance to ask this question. And I would preface it by saying, I'm not trying to get into somebody's business. I would tell them, I'm not trying to get into your business, but I have a question I want to ask you because it's important to me. I would say, I hope that you don't find it offensive. But you have just lost a loved one. You've just lost a son or a daughter, a husband, a wife, a brother, a sister, whatever it may be. And the question I've asked was this, was it worth it? Yeah, as they're sitting there, yeah, having a hard time. Tomorrow's going to be an extremely hard time as we go out and enjoy. And let me say this. Every single one of them always said this. We want you to enjoy the freedoms that you have on Memorial Day. We want you to have the picnics. We want you to get together with family and friends. We want you to exercise those freedoms that our loved ones bought with a price. However, we don't want you to forget that those freedoms were bought with a price. We want you to remember us. We want you to remember our names. The family members want you to remember the names of those who died that we might enjoy the spoils in America that we have. Not just an endless ravel of faces, but names that go with them. They were people. They were sons. They were daughters. They were husbands and wives and siblings that went out and never came back. And I've asked the question, was it worth it? 100% of the time, the answer was emphatically yes. Times that I even got that look like, I can't believe you're even asking me this question. You see, how easy would it be to sit back and say, if only he or she hadn't signed up to go. If only he or she hadn't have been in that conflict. If only God would have done a better job at watching over or looking after my loved ones. But yet today, just like the little girl in the video who went through life without her father. Do you think there were some tough times along the way? Yes. Do you think there were tough times for the mama that raised that child by herself and for that child that went through it? So it's not just a Memorial Day thing. It's an everyday thing for those who have lost loved ones. So what does that have to do with us today? Let me just say this. Everything. Everything. Nobody is rushing through that door to take me into custody today for preaching the gospel, because this is America and we have the right. Nobody is here to cause oppression on you or have some legal issue with you because you have shown up today to worship our God. In fact, we are protected in that right. And ironically enough, freedom is something that is so important, that is believed in by so many people, that it is worth signing up. It is worth going after. It is worth protecting. It is worth running into the danger so that these soldiers' children and their children's children and generations before them will continue to remain free. And if we're not careful, we could see this go in a bad direction. Nobody likes war, including those who have fought it. But as we heard in the video, as we've heard from our very own retired Staff Sergeant Gross, some things are worth fighting for, and some things are worth dying for. We see that in the scriptures as well. You don't have to turn there if you want. If you've already turned over in Acts chapter 5, we start coming into a situation of where a couple of the apostles had been out. They had been preaching the word of God, and there was a problem with that. They were arrested by the government. There was pressure that was put on them. They were put into prison. And ironically enough, they couldn't quite figure out what to do with these guys. Now, there's something interesting along the way in this particular passage, that as they debated about what should we do with the guys that we have in jail who are out preaching Jesus Christ, that one, and I will go ahead and call him Wise, actually says to the fellas, he's like, guys, well, hold on a minute. You're sitting here having this debate, but I don't even think we need to have the debate. You know, Peter's been arrested with one of the other apostles, and then one of the guys, and I'm sure that I'm going to butcher his name, but Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5 actually says this. He comes and he says, in verse 38 of Acts chapter 5, it says, "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing." Let me read that again. "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing." You know what he said? Fads come and fads go. Things rise and things fall. But here's what he said. He said, if there's nothing to this, it's just going to be a fad. It's going to tucker out, and you're not going to have to worry about it. Nobody's going to pay any attention to these two guys. Nobody's going to hear what they're having to say. They'll probably go and walk away. And in a few weeks, it'll all blow over. Makes sense, doesn't it? You've seen things come and you've seen things go and you've seen them blow over. But here's the reason why I said he was a wise man, because of verse 39. He said this, "But," remember what "but" is? It's a conjunction that hooks two thoughts together. He said, if this is nothing, it's all going to blow over. You're not going to have to worry about it. Don't do something, and I'm going to say it like this, don't do something stupid right now. Let's see what happens. Give it a little time. Because if it's nothing, it's going to pass away. But, here's what he said, verse 39, "But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." So not only did he say, If it's a fad, it's going to blow over. He said, now, I'm going to tell you this. If it is of God, there's nothing you'll be able to do to stop it. Don't put yourself in that position. Don't put yourself in that arena. Because when you come up against God, 100% of the time, you will lose. So he's wise. I like what verse 40 said. It says, and they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So again, they get warned. We're just going to beat them a little bit. We're going to scare them. We're going to intimidate them. And we're going to tell them not to do this anymore. And we're going to let them go. And they should go with their tail tucked between their legs, never to be seen again. I say that there's a lot of similarities here to the United States and to our military forces. There have been a lot of people who have reared their ugly head and threatened the United States of America, only to find that the next day they were sorry. You want to come after me? You want to come after our freedoms? We believe that they are worth fighting for. We believe that they are worth dying for. And I used to say it like this. Like I said, I grew up old hillbilly boy, and I grew up with Billy Jack. Y'all remember Billy Jack? Some of them young people are going, Billy Jack. Don't have a clue. But I remember something Billy Jack told to a guy one day. He said, I'm going to kick you on that side of the face with this foot, and there's not going to be a thing in the world you're going to do about it. Anybody, y'all remember that? And remember what Billy Jack did? He kicked that dude on that side of the face with that foot, and there wasn't a thing he was going to do about it. When you come up against the United States of America, that is one nation under God. Now, I'm going to say this. There's another message for another day about the fact of where we have slipped in that regard. But when you are one nation under God, when you go forward, God will protect this country. He will protect these freedoms. But he'll do that if his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and repent and call on his name and seek his face. He will forgive us and he will heal the land. Y'all remember that verse as well. That's an if-then statement. So they're threatened. The apostles were threatened. What did they do? Verse 41 says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy of suffering shame for his name. Did you get the magnitude of that verse just now? These men have been beaten. They are bleeding. They have had stripes put across their back. I mean, It's worse than anything you can imagine. They didn't have the antibiotics back then. Their backs were probably bleeding. And yet, verse 41 says, they departed from that council rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing? Verse 41 tells us that too. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In other words, you know what they said? These stripes on my back are a trophy that I had an opportunity to suffer for the name of Jesus because I did it the way he told us to. I walked in the word. I wasn't intimidated. I didn't back down. I maintained what God wanted me to do, and they beat me for it. Thanks be to God, I didn't turn my back on the master. And yet today, in 2023, all somebody has to do is get the hair up on their back and God's people seem to turn and run. That bothers me. That bothers me. It seems that that's what a lot of people want our military to do as well. Well, you've never tasted socialism and you have never tasted communism, and I will promise you that if you ever do, you will never, ever, ever want it. It will give you a renewed sense of the liberties that we have in America. You want to know what it's like? Come with me next March when we go to Cuba. when you have no rights, when the people are told what they'll do, when they'll do it, when the government says, we take care of you, and they sit back and say, well, we have free enterprise over here and tax it at 80%. What kind of free enterprise is that? When they will tell you where you'll go, what you can do, what you will not do. Folks, I don't even know that Central Baptist Church understands the magnitude of things that our teams have seen over the years. Realize that one of Central Baptist Church's teams that went over there had the privilege of being at the first ever mass assemblage of Christians. It was a youth meeting that was allowed by the government, the first one they had had since the revolution in 1958 when Castro took control. And we were there. We got to be a part of that. We got to be a part of history that's not going to be written in any book, but I'll promise you it'll be written in heaven. They actually canceled a basketball game and allowed them to use that gymnasium that held 8,000 people. They had a Christian group come in from Miami to minister there, and they had a three-night, essentially, they called it a concert, but it was a revival. 8,000 kids each night, and they could have kept on going, packed shoulder to shoulder to be with other Christians. And yet, if it's a little rain in the sky, we don't want to get wet. Yet, if it's a little chilly, we don't want to be apart. Folks, you have never suffered enough as a Christian to desire God as much as you desire your next breath. You have never lost your freedom in such a point that you desire freedom, that you are willing to give your life up for it. And these that we honor today understand that it comes with a price. These two apostles left that council, sore backs, bleeding, beat up, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Folks, we don't want to suffer nothing for the name of Jesus or anybody else in this day and age, do we? We like comfort. You've heard me say this for a number of years. That's why the chair is called a lazy boy, not a worker boy. We like comfort. We don't like being stretched. I pray to God there doesn't come a day when we will be threatened with our freedoms because of our walk with Jesus. Now I asked those folks a question earlier. I said, is it worth it? And every one of them said, yes. Through the tears, through the times of loneliness, through everything, they said, yes, it was worth it. Because I look around and I see a free country and I see a free nation. It was worth it. Let me ask you something as part of the Lord's army. Is being a Christian worth it for you? When somebody puts some stripes across your back, is it still going to be worth it for you? You see, you know what usually happens is when opposition rears its ugly head, you know what we do? We cower in the corner. We sit back and go, okay, well, we're just a few. Well, let me tell you something. Last time I checked, even if it's you and God make a majority. God cut Gideon's army down to 300 and he whooped some rear end, didn't he? Not because Gideon was a good general, but because God is an almighty God. It is time that God's people stood up. Hey, listen, when you do, you're going to get ridiculed. When you do, there's going to be opposition. When you do, people are going to say things about you. They're going to try to rip you to shreds, and they're not going to do it in a private way. They're going to do it in a public and in a heinous way. But thanks be to God when you can walk away and say, I'm going to rejoice that I count it worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Because what you suffer here, he will reward there. Or will he look at you someday and not say, well done, good and faithful servant? Will he look at you and say, you are the biggest coward I ever knew? I've seen some people in my life that looked really almighty when they're standing in the midst of God's people, but when you put them in the thick of the battle, they was as yellow can be. And if you're country, you know what I just said. They became cowards. Folks, it is time for God's people to not take the coward road as we go forward, to be proud of who we are in Christ and to shout it from the mountaintop. Is it worth it? See, there are some people who have suffered real persecution as Christians, and if I went to them and said, is it worth it? I will guarantee you that they will say, yes, it is. But I also know a dynamic of people that I would go and say, is it worth it? And they'd say, no, it's not, because they walked away. They quit. They stopped. Because you see, for them, Jesus was something they did on Sunday morning or Sunday night. For them, Jesus was all about me. What can you do for me? And folks, let me tell you something. It's scary what church is becoming today. It's become a consumer situation. What's in it for me? What can you do for me? Not where can I come in and plug in and be a part of the family. We've become a generation of takers. We've become a generation that's not connected to the church anymore. It's just something we do. I look out and I see a lot of people who understand the value of the family of God and connecting and being a part. And I've also watched people walk away because it was consumer Christianity. Hey, what can you do for me? Well, you don't have this and you don't have that, so I'm going to go where they have this and where they have that. Not willing to say, Lord, here I am. Remember what was said by one of our presidents of the United States when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. What if we put that in church terms today? Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for your church. And then let me ask you this, what are you doing in exercising your gifts, talents, and abilities for the sake of the kingdom? Oh, it's easy to sit around and be a consumer. It's far different when you have to put on the boots, when you have to take up the rifle. And listen, all of y'all in here, how many of y'all remember the old days of being in vacation Bible school? Old days. Remember what happened? We would all show up to vacation Bible school, which was usually during the morning. And we would get together and we had opening assembly or opening exercises. Where are all my opening exercises, people? And we would have that moment for everybody to be together. And we would always do like the Pledge of Allegiance. Remember that? And not only did we do the Pledge of Allegiance, we would sing a song because we're Baptists. We have to sing a song at everything. Not that there's a problem with that. But remember the song we sang. Across the world, say it loud, y'all. Onward, Christian soldiers. Put your hands up if y'all sang that. You know it, you remember it. Those were good days, weren't they? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Are you picking up some semblances here? With the cross of Jesus going on before. Remember the rest of it? Like the royal banner. He's against the foe. Forward into battle. See his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers. Why have we lost the soldiers of today? Because in a lot of ways, we become cowards in the gospel message. It's time for us to once again teach combat. Kirk, all the other military soldiers that we know of, they didn't just jump into it. They were trained. How do you train? You go to Sunday school classes like Richard's and Kelly's. You go to Bible studies like David's doing. You show up in church. See, our job as staff of this church is to train the saints to do the work of the ministry. Not, well, let's just get our preacher to do it. No, we do it too. But this is boot camp, y'all. How many of y'all went through boot camp, military boot camp? I see a few hands. Loved it, didn't you, Bill? Oh, you wanted to go back all over again, didn't you? Not one single person I ever asked said, boy, I sure miss boot camp. It was grueling. It was tough. It was where you were trained. And when you got in a situation, believe it or not, the training takes over. That was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me. The first time as a police officer coming through all the training and everything, the first time I ever got into a scrape, I'll just call it a scrape, it was like I had an out-of-body experience. It was like I was watching myself do all the things I needed to do to be victorious. And I was sitting there going, where did that guy come from? And that was me saying that. I was like, wow, I must have really learned something in the academy. Man, I had that dude handcuffed and one of them Jakari hand picks before I was sitting there going, if I had to do that to you, I'd have to be going, okay, do I grab this hand? No, it all just came natural. Oh, by the way, let me tell you why it came natural. Because the Holy Spirit showed up. The Holy Spirit subdued the guy for me. The Holy Spirit showed me where to grab and what to do while I watched it all take place. Listen, if you ain't walking with the Holy Spirit, you best get him real quick because he'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. But they counted it as rejoicing. Now, I just want to go to one other place in the Scripture. If you'll just turn a page over, what we find out is we find another biblical character that many of us know. He's not really often preached on, but over in chapter 7, down around verse 54, actually, going into chapter 7, we see Stephen. Now, most people, when I said Stephen, y'all are going, oh, yeah, I know what Stephen's deal is. Stephen was stoned to death, right? But yet, as you go through chapter 7, Stephen is laying it out. Man, he is laying like the Bible out for all these people. You see all the things he's talking about, and he is testifying to what the Scriptures have to say. Now, when you get down to verse 54, it says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's still working. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. So what happened was, even though the conviction was there, they took it out on him. How many of y'all have ever been a target of somebody's anger just because you were there? Wasn't necessarily your fault, but you were targeted. It says, when they heard these things, when they heard how the gospel or the history was presented, it says they were cut to the heart, verse 54, and gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Could you imagine what that would be like? Being able to look up and there you see Jesus at the right hand of God. Now, folks, I don't think that was figurative. I think Stephen actually saw Jesus Christ himself at the right hand of God. I also say, and this is another message for another day, this was part of the dying grace that Stephen was given in the moment when he was about to be called on home. But you didn't look at him going, well, what about my family that I'm leaving behind? Well, what about my friends? What about all the other stuff? What about my house? What about my cars? What about my bank account? He didn't say any of that. Verse 56 says what he said. It says, and he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He testified again. He said, man, look at what I see. What'd they do? Verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears. La, 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 la. They didn't want to hear it. You know what I call that in today's society? Cancel culture, because that's what it is. I don't want to hear it. They stopped their ears, verse 57, and ran at him with one accord. In other words, they all rushed him together. It says, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Boy, that's kind of cool, isn't it? Lord, I'm coming home. I don't know if you've ever experienced it before. I have with some people who I believe with all my heart saw exactly what Stephen saw. They saw Jesus at the right hand of God in their final moments. And they were rejoicing and said, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Oh, but he did something else that was even more incredible than that. Look with me at verse 60. It says, then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now we know what fell asleep means in the scriptures. He died. In the midst of that, he didn't say, Lord, I want you to tear them asunder for what they've done. Lord, I want you to rip them from limb to limb. Lord, I want vengeance. Is that what he said? No. He said, Lord, don't hold this against them. Could we do that today? That's tough, isn't it? So I want to ask you something today. Is it worth it? Is following Jesus really worth it? I hope and pray that like all of the soldiers' families that I've had a chance to talk to who lost loved ones in the military, I hope that your answer is emphatically yes. I hope and pray that you would look at me like I have three heads and say, what are you talking about, preacher? Absolutely, it's worth it. And in the midst of it, would you be like Stephen? Would you be able and willing to say, Lord, they just don't know what they're doing? I'll be honest with you, that's tough, isn't it? That's hard to do. Because we like to go to that scripture that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. And we're sitting there going, Lord, I'm turning it over to you, but I want you to make them hurt a little bit. Or better yet, make them hurt a lot. Isn't that what we want? You see, the reason that it's worth it is because tomorrow you'll have cookouts. You'll make laps around the lake. You'll meet with friends and family. You'll have that time off for more. But I'm begging you to do something different maybe for a change. I am begging you to take the time and the moment to call the names of and to remember some of the folks who that's all their loved ones want you to do is remember them. I've shared with you over the past two decades that I lost a friend of mine that was like a neighbor, Mekot Camera. He was killed in the bombing of the barracks in Beirut back in the 80s. I call his name often so that his life was not in vain. I think about people like Ida Deason. Y'all remember Ida? She may even be watching right now, but Ida's dad grew up in Cuba under that oppression, fought against it, was able to get out, was able to come to America, and you know what he did? He was a soldier in the U.S. military because he knew he needed to fight against that, what he'd come from. He believed enough in it. Those are the type of men and women that we remember today. And yet sometimes I wonder, had it been, God had other plans for me. Man, I was ready to go. I had gone, spent the night, took the physical. They were ready to put me on a bus, but then they couldn't give me what I wanted. I wanted to fly jets, and they said, you can't do that. You're colorblind. Pick something else. I said, I don't want nothing else. And then they tried to strong arm me a little bit, but I've always had a little bit of that in me to go, I ain't signed nothing yet. I still remember having to walk out of that place. I had to talk to a captain. I had to walk out of that place and call my mom and dad and said, could you come pick me up in Beckley? Because I'm not shipping out anymore. Yeah, we'll be right there to get you. God had other plans. But I was willing to go. But I also knew that that could have meant the ultimate sacrifice. Man, I appreciate our soldiers so much that have been in the conflict. One that you've seen around, I call him, we still call him Gunny. Gunny Anderson, you've seen him. They live and they're part of the fabric of even our church and our lives. Did 7 tours over in Afghanistan and Fallujah and places like that so that we would remain free. It's a great price to pay. Like I said, tomorrow is about remembering those that didn't come back. We're going to remember the guys that were willing to serve, that were willing to give their life. That's in the fall. But today and tomorrow, and I pray each and every day, will be about those like that little girl you saw on that video who grew up without a daddy, who says it was worth it. Nope, my daddy wasn't here to see the victories. He wasn't here to see me graduate from high school or college. No, he wasn't here to walk me down the aisle. But thanks be to God, I've enjoyed all the freedoms I do because he gave his life. That's a tough balance, isn't it? I don't want you to not enjoy tomorrow. I don't want you to not picnic. I don't want you to not have hot dogs because they don't want you to not do that either. They want you to do that. But they want you to remember that it was bought with a price. And may we not be ungrateful. I'm going to ask Brad, if he would, and our musicians to take their place as we consider our time of invitation. That's not our invitation, but yet God's invitation. And I ask you right now, first of all, do you know my Jesus? When you think about the fact that Stephen looked up into the heaven and he saw Jesus at the right hand of God. Listen, if you don't know him, you're not going to be willing to die for something that you don't know. You won't. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe that's what the Lord meant when he said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you have a real relationship with him? I'm not talking about a church thing where I prayed with the preacher and I've got perfect attendance here and there and I'm a choir member and a deacon or even a pastor. I want to know, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Are you spending time with him? Have you gotten to know him in his word? And if you found yourself in that situation, would you be able to look up and see Jesus at the right hand of the Father? If not, today's your day. Confess to him that you're a sinner. You can simply say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need Jesus as my Savior. Forgive me and save my soul. You know what? That's one of the greatest prayers ever. Most important conversation you'll ever have with anyone. Because that will assure you eternal life in heaven. But oh, it's not just something you go through. Then you got to get to know him. By the way, he's written you a love letter. How many of y'all ever got a love letter when you was in school? Nobody. Oh, come on, come on, put your hands up. You got a love letter before. Did you just stick it in your pocket and say, I'll read it in a month or two? Most of the time, you tried to get a hall pass to go to the bathroom so you could hide in the stall so you could read it real quick, didn't you? You wanted to know what it said. Well, folks, let me tell you something. The greatest love letter ever is right here, waiting on you to read it, to draw close to the Father, who loved you so much he gave his only son that you might have eternal life. Maybe you're here today and you've just been going through the motions. Listen, it is time to get busy. It is time to get in the Word of God. Listen, you get in the Word of God and I promise you everything else will take care of itself. You get into the Word of God, I promise He'll have you serving where you need to be served. If you worship right, He will have you where you need to be. I've often said this, that when it came down to Isaiah's vision, it talked about the seraphim. Seraphim had how many wings? I'm giving you a hint. Seraphim had how many wings? Good job, man. Y'all doing great on Bible trivia. In Isaiah, in that vision, it said, it actually says with twain, which means, it says, with two, he flew. With twain, or he covered his feet. And with twain, or he flew. Four of the six wings were used for worship. You see, two were covering the eyes, two were covering the feet, and two were flying. I promise you that if you will spend the time in worship, true worship, the two that are being used for service will be more than enough. Will you do that today? Are you willing to stand and say, it's worth it? It's worth it! I gave my life to Jesus when I was about 5 or 6 years old. I don't remember day, date, and time because nobody that age is into calendars. But I still remember the day I asked Jesus to come into my life. At 15 years old, He called me to preach. I got goofy for a while. I did finally get through Bible college and have been doing this for 30 years. And some people would say to me, is it worth it? You know what my answer is? Absolutely. I haven't regretted anything. Does that mean all my times have been easy? No. Does that mean that there's not people who hate me? No, there are. People who don't like me. And listen, there are going to be people who don't like you for the cause of Jesus Christ. What's more important? Maybe you need to get back in line with Him. Whatever it is, listen, if you trusted Jesus, please let us know. We want to celebrate with you. Man, celebrations are great. Don't deprive us of that opportunity. Man, if you're here today and the Lord has called you back to Him, make sure that you get it right with Him. If you need a good old-fashioned altar, it's here. If you need me, I am here. But whatever the need, make sure that you deal with whatever the Holy Spirit has put on your heart as we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn. We seek the Lord in prayer as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. What has God said to you today? Have you taken action on what it is in your life? Because for each and every one of us, He showed up today because His word does not return void. What do you need to do? As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask that our ushers would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, as we come to You today, we do so grateful, with a grateful heart, and Lord, thankful. So thankful for the provision that You provide each and every one of us. And Lord, we're at that particular point where You've asked us to be faithful with what You've given us. And Lord, You want to bless us beyond anything that we could ever imagine, but You put us to the test. And Lord, You've even asked that we put You to the test. Lord, I pray that today we will truly be faithful to return to you that which you have so richly blessed each and every one of us with, that your kingdom may go forward, but Lord, that you might indeed bless us beyond anything we could ever imagine. Lord, bless the gift and the giver as only you can, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jim and the brass. Just a couple quick things, and we'll get you on out of here. Birthday. We don't have any anniversaries that we know of that are coming up this week, but we do have one birthday, Don Wright. Don generally works with our video output on Sundays. A lot of you know Don. His birthday is actually today. So if you do text messaging or social media or something, shoot him a message or grab a hold of him some way, give him a hug. I'm sure he'll take checks, cash, whatever else you may have along the way. But at any rate, just a couple quick things. We will not be having evening worship services this evening. The month of May, as always, we got a whole bunch of things that go bang, bang, bang in the month of May. The church office will be closed tomorrow in honor of Memorial Day. And folks, I'm just going to say this right now because I don't want to forget it. Be sure that you take the time to stop by a memorial. Teach your children and your grandchildren the importance of what this date is all about, not just the picnic, but the reason why you do what you do. Fourth of July Park has a phenomenal memorial down there, and I'm so tickled to let you know that the Oak Ridge Park is working on one as well. So I was just so proud to hear that. So be sure to keep these families in your prayers that tomorrow is going to be an especially hard day. But recognize the fact of what their loved one did, that they might truly know it really, really was worth it. Next Sunday is June the 4th. That is going to be our graduation Sunday. We've got three graduates that we're going to recognize next week for all their hard work. If there's somebody that you know of, you got to let us know. I can't announce them if I don't know who they are. We've got a little sheet that's got some information on it. But if there's somebody that you know of as part of our church, we have three currently that we'll recognize next week, June the 4th, for graduation Sunday. And then on June the 10th, Betty Cazito will be having a CPR class that includes both adult and infant CPR as well as AED operation. That is not just for our church. If there's anybody who wants to be certified, that's on June the 10th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There will be a cost for this, but it's going to depend on how many people get signed up. It's between $35 and $45, depending on how many folks are signed up for that. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex back there, or if you need more information, you can contact Betty Cazito. Now, Betty's going to have her hands full with the passing of her mom. So, you know, just please keep them in your prayers, and we'll try to give you as much information as you need. If you don't know how to get a hold of Betty, you can go through the church office, and we'll get you in contact with her. Also, every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant, there's a men's breakfast at 10 a.m. Those guys love to eat, know how to get it done, no agenda, just a time of building fellowship and waistlines. Amen, guys? There we go. So join them if you can. Also, mark your calendars for there's going to be a 4th of July celebration that's going to be on the 1st over in the Family Life Center over there. Jim and the band will be working on the patriotic times of being able to, patriotic songs that hopefully will remind you of what this great country is all about, along with some narrations about those as well. So make your plans to be there. Is there a sign-up sheet for that, or is it just come on down? There will be a sign-up sheet. It's out there now. So you can sign up for that, so you can come and join the good old American apple pie and hot dogs, right? Free. You don't have to pay for that. Just come on out. But that the 4th of July celebration is on July the 1st. Y'all got that? Sign up out there in the narthex. Now, I also want to mention this, and then I'll turn it over to David so he can close us out in prayer. A lot been going on through this past week. Many of you may know that JC fell this past week. It was actually his femur that was broken. He had surgery on that. They were able to do that. They put like a rod and some screws in that. So we want to continue to remember JC as he recovers. We also want to continue to remember Roger. Roger is doing well now. They've drawn the fluid off. He is back home. And then my surprise, I just could knock me over with a feather when I saw this, but many may or may not know that Dr. Webster from First Baptist of Oak Ridge went home to be with the Lord this past week. His visitation is going to be Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 o'clock p.m. at First Baptist Church. And the service is going to be at 12 o'clock p.m. If you would like to go by there. Our church has sent flowers to First Baptist in recognition and in honor of Dr. Webster. Man, I love that guy. For all my years up here, he and I did a lot together when it came down to the community services. We were like-minded in so many ways, and we had a like-minded theology. Please pray for his family. His beloved wife and son Derek, who I know, even though it's a victory that he's with Jesus, they're certainly going to miss him. I miss him already as well. So, David, if there's anything I've forgotten, which I'm sure there probably is, you can come let us know, and then we'll get you out of here.
July. There's a sign-up sheet out there now that's asking you specifically sign up for where you can serve. We need 8 people for each meal. If you can serve all day, a whole day, if you can serve one meal, we'll take whatever we can get out of you. But I need to know. Don't just say, I'll serve whenever you need me, okay? Because I don't want to spend that first week of July calling 8 people a day for 5 days in a row. I need to know what you're going to do. So please help us do that. Sign up. I know it sounds like it's too early. It's a month early. We need to know so we can, if we need to do a little training, we'll do that. So please sign up. Sign up for the 4th of July. You don't have to bring anything. You don't have to cook anything. You don't have to pay any money, but we need to know how much food to buy. See? Let me pray for you.
Real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
One real quick thing, because I've forgotten this for the last 2 weeks. Y'all see what this is? It's a baby bottle, right? Most of you know that usually between Mother's Day and Father's Day, this is how my brain has been functioning. We'll take these bottles, we'll put spare change in them or whatever. This goes to the Crisis Pregnancy Center of Greensboro. We usually take this between Mother's Day and Father's Day. I'll probably push it out to the end of June simply because I have dropped the ball, even though we've had some bottles. I'm going to take those baby bottles back there. You can pick one up as you go out the door. But, man, this really goes a long way to helping. They actually have the, what do you call it, ultrasound machines that they will actually go and they will take ladies in there who are considering abortion, and they will show them that living child. They will hear that heartbeat. This goes to pay for things just like that. So if you could participate in that with us, the baby bottles will be back out there. Take one home, fill it up. We'll holler at you when it's time to bring them back. So just pocket change or whatever would be grateful. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the men and women who have given their lives that we might enjoy the freedom that we have today. Father, pray that as they have been willing to die for their country and for their faith, Lord, that we would be willing to live every day for the freedom that America has and the freedom that we have in Jesus. And Lord, we're reminded that over 2,000 years ago, our Savior fought a battle for us for 33 years on this earth. He was nailed to a cruel cross. He set an example for us. And he told us, like his disciples, follow me. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that he made. God, help us to live our lives in honor of what he did and in honor of what the men and women who've given their lives for our freedom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.